Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, White Sox fans. It's Brett Ballantini here hosting Southside Sox podcast number 42 on the heels of a White Sox sweep, the first of the season, hopefully the first of many. And joining me to celebrate that sweep and maybe look ahead to what could be a march to first place here in this coming week, it's Crystal O'Keefe. Welcome again to the Southside Sox podcast, Crystal.
Thank you for having me on the Brett and Crystal show.
It is becoming that way. I'm going to just scrawl in a little box here on the side that will just say Joe, because Joe Reese's somehow, I don't know what's going on with the Indianapolis field office, but I guess he didn't get the memo.
He's busy.
It's all right.
He's too cool for us.
It's all right. Somehow I think, actually, Crystal, he is on the search for a strawberry cheesecake churro cannoli, and he did not realize, he should have realized, but he did not realize he could stop by Casa O'Keefe and perhaps pick one up.
I didn't tweet it, so he would have never known. I only put it on my cooking Instagram account.
You don't see him just circling the block occasionally, just with his nose out the window, just sort of sneaking for churro. He could be out there now. You may want to look out the front window. All right, Crystal, the White Sox are 12-9, is a four-game winning streak. A sweep of the Texas Rangers was exactly what you're supposed to do to the Texas Rangers. This was a series the White Sox needed to fatten up on at home. And they did just that. This is what I believe over the weekend in one of the podcasts I had suggested probably needs to happen. And this is about the time to start taking care of business and get some of the growing pains of the early season out of the way. Given the sweep, given particularly getting the brooms out today with a pretty decisive win, you were covering it for us on the six packs. You were paying some pretty close attention. Takeaways, the excitement of the White Sox storming now toward first place and completing the sweep.
Yeah, so I think they obviously have decided that hitting the ball and scoring runs is how you get above 500. So I'm really excited for that. It's really good to see Jose Abreu kind of coming alive again. A lot of people seem to be concerned that there was some regression or a slump or he was cold because it's April, but it's kind of good to see these players I was just a little worried about at the beginning kind of show up, have really good at bats. And even Zach Collins had an amazing at bat today. So
Wheels Collins, legging out three infield hits today, I believe. Unexpected flash of a skill set there.
I'm feeling a lot better than I was even just a week ago. And as much as I love Dane Dunning, it was nice to still beat him and then eventually sweep. So it was a good series.
Yeah, that had all the makings of a scary beginning of the series with Dane coming in really hot against Cease, who has not been so hot, particularly at least just in getting deep in the games. And so, yeah, that had the makings of something that was going to make jaws drop and say, man, you know, and then it's like, well, let's try to get the two over the weekend because, you know, Dane Dunning came back and got revenge on the White Sox. And it was nice. As great a guy as he is, it was nice to, hey, listen, win every other game, just not the ones against the White Sox. He's not going to see the White Sox very often. He's in the AL West. They're not going to run into each other.
They were saying earlier they won't be back until September. So it'll be a bit.
Okay, you mentioned the offense, and obviously this team is capable of putting up some big, big numbers. And what was so great today is they put it all up so early. I mean, maybe even shifted into cruise mode maybe a little too early, but with Kopech dealing the way he was and the offense putting up really one run, frankly, but certainly the multiples they did, this is just a really nice way to end, you don't want to call a statement series against the Texas Rangers, but hey, it's a statement series because White Sox needed this.
Yeah, I mean, Texas isn't always great offensively, but it's nice to see our players just kind of light them up. And, like, props to Nick Madrigal, who completely saved the game that I called on Twitter, and now maybe I'm a witch. I don't know. Like, I called it right before, and everyone was like, what? Someone was like, how did you do that? And I was really proud of myself, but yeah, I mean, even the guys that you don't expect to get very many hits are doing it, and Billy's back, so Adam Engel's coming back soon-ish. Nice. So,
yeah, the fact that they have managed to sort of tread water, you know, stick around 500, even though it became sort of like a comic sort of thing that they'd, you know, be one under and then hit 500 and can't really get over. But they're doing it down, you know, a starter, two starters, down at least one missing piece of the rotation at any given time. Now we got a new missing piece in Lucas Giolito. That's some pretty good tap dancing, and that's something you need to do. You don't want to have to mitigate those injuries right at the start of the season because it's not going to get any easier as the season goes on. You know, guys are just going to wear down. So that's a little scary and a little daunting. But the fact that they're 3 over now, that's a 92-93 win pace, which is not bad. Yeah, that's really encouraging. Yeah, you got Adam Engel in your back pocket. Billy Hamilton, I mean, incredible play on Saturday night. Defensively, not necessarily something to look for him with his arm. I mean, the guys are stepping up, and that's what you need to have happen, playing their roles and stepping up, even with, like, Zach Collins getting three in. I mean, I know it's sort of like a goof, but, hey, it's better to get three infield hits and three strikeouts. I mean, the guys are making the most of their opportunities.
Yeah, even Andrew Vaughn was great in this series, and, you know, we haven't seen too many great, you know, at bats for him, and he decided, yeah, I'm gonna do this weekend. I don't even care if everyone else is.
Yeah, so everybody's
joined the club.
Everybody has had their highlights, really. Luis Robert had that great walk on Saturday, where he, you know, for once sort of held off the outside sliders and drew a walk. Even Liam Hendricks, when, you know, gives up a homer, he gives up a couple homers, but, you know, still manages to rally. You know, there's not too many guys you're walking away from saying, geez, I'm really concerned. I mean, Jonathan Stever doesn't count. He's a guy who just was there to stop up some innings today. So really the guys who are mostly being counted on are coming through. That said, are there guys who stick out at you still sort of being a little bit of a concern at this point, given that we're getting close to a month into the season and maybe some guys who really haven't gotten unlocked yet?
I mean, Garcia is still one of those where I'm just like, okay, please, when the superior Adamy comes back, let's end this experiment. I'm kind of over it. He's the one that's concerned me the most, and a little bit of Yoan, but not enough, I think, to count him in that. You know, he's had a slow start, but he's picking up too. So
I think Usmani for me is a concern, not really so much with the performance, because there's a lot of stuff he does that isn't necessarily going to show up, and he's going to still end up having a pretty nice, you know, war because he's going to have his framing or whatnot. But the fact that he's now, I mean, he's even now adjusted his stance because of the knee injury that happened way back in spring, and it seems to be something that's nagging him, could, I presume, maybe affecting his performance at the plate. That, you know, that's worrisome because there's not a lot of depth. I mean, we can give Zach Collins all the plaudits we want, but he's not going to be able to step in any way and step in well for Yasmani Grandal. So that's a concern because, you know, there's no depth. there's not even depth, probably the major league level. Yermin, I don't really think, though, people are saying, like, hey, throw him behind the plate at some point. And yeah, at some point you probably should go behind the plate, but, you know, Yermin's not a major league catcher defensively. Zach isn't either. So that's something that's, you know, it's worrying me given that this is a guy who's, you know, he hasn't sat, you know, he's not injured per se, but even trying to play through this injury sort of because he has to, the results are sort of mixed, and that is worrisome to me.
Well, and all the interferences just over the last week now, it's just like he's either not playing at all or he's in the way.
Yeah, it's like, is he using his knuckleballer glove that's like three times the size? Because, yeah, it's just sort of interesting. It's something that you like never saw called. And I guess because framing is becoming such a big deal, and you know, I guess there's something to being out there aggressive and maybe just moving just that far up to get the ball that he's drawing that. And those are not good things. I mean, those are errors for him. And that has, can really screw up the momentum of a game. So, yeah, for a guy who's like so excellent defensively, that's been a very strange. I mean, I guess he's admitted he's never had that many in a year.
Yeah.
It seems to me like he had a couple last year in just that mini season. But, you know, I get his point. And, yeah, I hope that can sort of get cleaned up too. I don't know. What's going on? It's sort of like he's trying to run with like just three wheels instead of four right now. And it's a little worrisome, you know. Is the Kopech situation, obviously that's a guy who I think you're behind. I don't think we all are behind. Has it surprised you the way he's come out of the gate? He's both started very efficiently. I think he's had his two starts now, both real good ones. And all his work out of the bullpen has been terrific. I mean, look at his season numbers, and they're extraordinary. They're probably pushing Rodon at this point for best on the club. Are you surprised it's come together so quickly for him, given that he's basically been away for two seasons?
Honestly, I'm not really surprised. I knew who he was pre-injury, pre-year off. And, you know, I think that the nearly 2 years off did actually help him a bit. I mean, he was never not playing after he was recovered or recovering from the injury. So it's not like he took a ton of time off and just forgot about baseball altogether. So I'm not really surprised by it. I knew he had good stuff, and he's got a point to prove on why he deserves to be in that starting rotation. And he's just out there consistently proving it at every single outing he has.
We are going to return to the topic of Michael Kopech and discuss perhaps some other starters in the White Sox mix right after we take a quick break here on podcast number 42. I'll be back with Crystal real quick.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, White Sox fans, it's Southside Sox podcast number 42. We're on the heels of a sweep of the Texas Rangers, White Sox making a storm toward first place, a game and a half behind the Kansas City Royals. And let's face it, nobody is scared of the Kansas City Royals, so effectively in first place. Sorry, Kansas City. Yeah, it's bulletin board material. Forget it. White Sox got the best run differential in the American League, second best in baseball. And though those things don't necessarily translate directly into what we can predict a record being, that's an indication the White Sox have run into some bad luck, perhaps some bad bullpen management by a manager coming back to the game after a decade. But hey, the wheels are all back on. The team seems to be rolling now. And the fact that the offense is performing and the defense and the pitching is doing well enough to suppress runs is an indication of future months where the White Sox are going to go from 3 over .500 the way they are right now to perhaps really quickly getting into some serious, serious best in American League material. We don't see any indications that's not going to happen. No prediction, but the first almost now month of baseball would indicate that the next five to come are going to be pretty nice for the White Sox. Here with Crystal O'Keefe, And Crystal, we were just talking about Michael Kopech and the fact that you're not terribly surprised by how well he's been able to sort of hit the mound running, and whether it's starting. Today he went five innings. That's nothing to sneeze at, given the fact that one of the guys who's come up as having a little bit of trouble in the rotation so far, a guy who seemed like a solid number four going into the season, Dylan Cease, hasn't pitched into the fifth inning, I don't believe, this year. I think we are sort of calling him Mr. 4 2/3 because he can't quite even get to the point of qualifying for a victory. It doesn't come down to Cease versus Kopech, at least not yet, because the White Sox also don't really necessarily have a fifth starter because somebody's always getting injured. We'll get to that in a second. But at what point do things have to change, and do they change this year where Cease is maybe the guy who's doing a little bit more of the spot play in the rotation and out of the bullpen, and Kopech is sort of moving into that place? Or do you think, because there's some unspecified innings limit for Kopech, given that he's coming back for a full season for the first time in two, that's not something we're going to be talking about and can anticipate until maybe 2022?
I don't think he will actually have a spot in the rotation until next season. That said, I think these pitching limit, you know, starts that he does have is the right move, especially when we are plagued with injuries and what have you. And so I think just getting him to that point where he feels confident, which he looks confident. Like, I don't, when I watch him, I see someone who has been doing this for years versus taking two off. So I think it gets to the point where he needs to have more of these starts. And if he can throw 87 pitches like he did today, there's no reason to continue to suppress him and just keep him in the bullpen. As much as I want him to start this year, I obviously don't want him to blow his arm out. But, I mean, it comes to the point where he's the better pitcher. Mm. And I think everyone knows that, but they don't want to accept it because I don't think the White Sox are willing to give up on Dylan Cease this early. But he's incredible, and he deserves that starting rotation spot. Whether it's, you know, towards the end of this season or the beginning of next, it should be his for the taking, and C should be somewhere there in the middle, just hanging out.
Oh, smart, Crystal. I would have done more numbers crunching than determine that the record's 12-9 to take the time to see that they're on a 92 or 93 win pace. I can do more advanced math than that. We'll get to math here before the podcast ends as well. But if I was smart, I would have crunched some numbers to sort of see what Kopech's pace so far is. I mean, I think we've sort of guessed maybe it's 100 innings. It certainly wouldn't seem like it could be more than 150, because that's, frankly, that's pretty much a regular load for a lot of guys. So I'm wondering to see, I'm curious to know how what he's done so far plays out. Letting him go five innings just for this start, even if you just say, okay, he's going to get a start a month from here. I mean, five innings, that's like a week's worth of work for a guy who's on an innings limit. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to know, at what point do they slow him down? Do they maybe even shut him down and quiet him, with the possibility, given that it doesn't seem like the rotation is going to have certainly not five strong arms plowing through the season, and maybe as few as three dependable arms at any given time, whether they sort of earmark him and, you know, shut him down is probably too dramatic to say, so that come postseason, or come say last 2 weeks of the season, and then it's like, okay, guess what? Here's the very late, way post deadline acquisition of Michael Kopech, ace starter. And guess what? He's in the rotation the rest of the year through the postseason. I think that's pretty much what they've intimated all along, him and Garrett Crochet as well. Crochet is struggling enough that you can't necessarily count on that, but it's interesting. I'm going to be interested to see what sort of gap we have between now and sort of the end of the season with Kopech, to see if they do set him up, given not enough guys are probably going to be stepping up in the rotation, to see if he's a guy they say, all right, now you got the ball, go for it, because we got an off season coming up. You're going to have time to rest.
Yeah. I just would like for them to make that announcement prior to mid-September so that I can purchase tickets for when he is starting and go for some anniversary baseball. That would be ideal.
Perfect. Yeah, you can check out the calendar and you can start to count days with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Colfax. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Colfax. Yeah. At this point, the way he's pitching, it's worth it. I mean, he's appointment viewing at this point, along with Carlos Rodon. And now we're like considering old nine finger Lucas Giolito now is like the third guy, for crying out loud. Before we get to old nine finger Giolito, Dylan Cease is now probably approaching or just passed a full season's worth of cobbled together over these past three seasons, his rookie year, cup of coffee, the mini season last year where he did pitch, I think, a full 12 starts, which qualified as full for a 60 game season. And now so far, the starts that he's taking the ball on this year, he's probably added up to roughly a full season. Now, I'm not going to sully Dylan Cease by mentioning the name Ronaldo Lopez, because Ronaldo Lopez has had somewhere approaching 100 appearances in the majors. I think at least 80, and all of them or close to all of them starts. And obviously Ronaldo Lopez is his currency has fallen dramatically in the system to the point where he hasn't even got these cup of coffee calls up for a spot 2-3 innings like today, Jonathan Stever. Ronaldo Lopez, I know he pitched very recently, but he could have been lined up to be that guy, and he's not. But, you know, that said, Dylan is struggling to find the strike zone. He's struggling to be efficient with his pitching, and I know you're not a big Dylan fan, and it's easy to see why, you know, you have to pause, just sort of have to put a pin in what the stardom predictions were for him, because he has really struggled to get his feet under him. You think it's safe that pretty much all season long, perhaps just out of necessity, because the White Sox do not have many rotation options. They do not have any rotation depth, that they're pretty much just going to ride with Dylan Cease throughout, even if he slips, say, to the token like fifth spot in the rotation, because frankly, they need his innings and they might as well see what they have with him.
Yeah, they will. I mean, and I don't even want to say that I'm not his fan. I love the kid and I want him to be great. But when you watch him and you're like yanking your hair out because you're so agitated with what he's doing, it's tough as a fan to watch that. It's tough as a person that has to write about him to watch that. But you know, they're going to ride it out because they can't just have a bullpen game every fifth game. Like it's too taxing. Not saying his starts aren't taxing enough for them, but comes to the point where you just have to see how far he can go, and if you lose, then lose.
It's crazy, Crystal. Last year, in this sort of like cobbled together season, let's face it, you know, not to say the White Sox weren't prepared to roll out a competitive team, and hey, they made the playoffs. But you know, there was an inordinate number of bullpen games, and you know, again, circumstances, whatever, pandemic and whatnot, but you sort of thought, okay, you got a whole off season to prepare for this not to happen. And you know, I know bad luck, you know, Lansman's got a little, you know, whatever, tweak in the shoulder, and Giolito's cutting off his finger, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. Just we're in April and we've been talking, like, it seems like every other game is like, well, it's gonna be a bullpen game, or you know, who's gonna eat the innings? Like, oh man, this just, I don't want to keep always beating this, but I mean, it just seems like not the best planning. I don't know how many Clayton Richards you need in Schaumburg. You need a few veteran guys who it's like, okay, maybe we can tap this guy. I mean, we're not expecting to catch lightning in a bottle. Gio Gonzalez, I know he's retired, but I mean, that was his purpose last year to come in and be that guy. You know, ended up being a number four and, you know, unfortunately not worthy of that, but you got to have a few of those guys. Why does have none? I mean, their depth doesn't even get to eight. And I would think at minimum you need eight, you know, including a few guys in Schaumburg or AAA.
If only they had made some offseason acquisitions for a starting pitcher instead of.
Seems like they sort of stopped short of spending the full wallet of money. It seemed like they were willing to spend more. I thought I heard that the money was going to be spent that hasn't been spent other places. It's very confusing. I'm not a math guy. I'm not a dollars guy. So I'm just a little confused by it all. I just got to trust Rick Hahn, I guess. And you know, that, you know, he's not trying to con me about this. This is just the best they can do. I suppose. I don't know.
Maybe we got a choppy feed for that press conference.
Could be.
We spent, like, maybe it was the money will not actually be spent.
Right. Will not be spent. And that's where the dropout was. Sure.
Please continue to buy beer when you're at the ballpark. Thank you.
Yeah. And he, you know, it seems like every one of his conferences at home, the Zoom stuff, there's always like a big time. I think one time there was like a garbage pickup in the background. I know there's been dogs barking. So maybe some of that background noise. So, you know, we could have missed out a real key point, and everybody just was like, you know, all the beat writers, I compared their notes. Hey, did he say yes or no? And you know, they just went with, you know, nobody bothered to follow up. Hey, let's talk about another guy in the rotation, the guy that we didn't think we'd have to talk about because he would just be smooth as silk, and he was not smooth his last outing, which is unfortunate because now when he was supposed to start today, apparently twisting off a water bottle that he didn't know was a glass bottle and it was not a twist off top. I mean, you know, you got to love crazy injury stories. Lucas Giolito, White Sox ace and Cy Young hopeful, cut his finger and had to be scratched from today's start. I think he's been listed as the guy for Tuesday. So maybe that means it's just a minor flesh wound, but I guess we don't know that for sure. I got to say, we had a little debate on the site in the comments way back, I think right around the Boston when there was the cancellations. There was the Kansas City a home game cancellation. And then I think there was a Boston. There were some cancellations that essentially allowed Lucas to still pitch on 5 days rest, even though it meant he would be skipping like 2-3 guys in the rotation. To me, you want your ace pitching every 5 games because at some point, you know, he's going to be gassed. He needs a break. Or I don't know, he's going to think there's a twist off cap on a water bottle and he cuts his finger and perhaps has to miss some time. Now, maybe we dodged a bullet here and he is just going to like get pushed back one day, but they've already missed one chance to get him on that every 5 days. Cause he's the one guy we can count on. We can't necessarily count on Carlos yet. We can't count on Kopech. He's not even in the rotation. Lance Lynn's, you know, already a little bit achy. Dallas Keuchel, you know, we'll see, very promising last start. You need to have your horse, you need to make sure he's going to get his 32 starts. And at this point, he's not probably on pace for 32 starts. It seems like something you just want to do. And I think some people were pushing back on the site, like, oh, come, you know, no, that you can't, that's too disruptive. You can't do that. And I thought, well, you know, now look, now, I mean, let's hope he doesn't miss a turn. Let's hope it is just one game, but we didn't need him for that game anyway, because it was the Texas Rangers. You know, we need him starting this next series. And so I hope he's able to suit up and take the ball. And I don't know, maybe he's going to get some extra spin because he's got a weird like scab forming on his scratched finger. But yeah, to me, it was a curious decision and it could have been an easy one to make to just say, okay, plug him right back out there. You know, there are enough off days built in. You know, I think these guys go in saying, hey, I'm ready to take the ball every five days. And if they, you know, if they're a little gassed, they'll say, all right, can I skip a turn? We get 36 starts out of Lucas Giolito if we do that. And I don't think that's necessarily taxing him too terribly. We can't afford to be too picky with our starters because we have like 2.5, I think. And I don't know that number's really gone up or down this whole year because one guy's Rodon steps up and then suddenly Lance Lynn is nowhere to be found. We need starters, Crystal.
Look, I appreciate the no plastic water bottle thing. It is better for the environment. But can we get someone to just open bottles, especially for our entire pitching, just everyone, just anyone.
Bottle opener.
Included. Like, let's just get a designated bottle opener.
There seems like there would be a bottle opening intern.
I'll do it.
I think that would be possible. There you go. You know, you prove that you've got your second vaccination shot. Or at least you go through the heat seeking thing to make sure, okay, you're legit. And then you put the gloves on, you snap on. There's no danger.
I'm available in 3 weeks. I will be fully vaccinated and I will have my 2-week buffer.
White Sox. So, listen,
call me Rick.
Don't have the garbage cans in the background or the dogs barking because you're going to need to know which gate to report to and exactly what day they need you.
I will open all of the bottles for anyone that asks if it means we will not be scabbed up on the mound.
Yeah. All right, let's wind this up, Crystal. Let's talk a little six-pack. You've made your six-pack of stats debut for us. We've got a nice crew of people who are devoted to doing this piece, which is really expanded this year. Last year, it was mostly, hey, pick six random numbers and talk about it. And that's sort of cute and that's fun because I can be sort of in the ... trivia area. You hopped on just in time for it to be a pretty hardcore exercise. What's your thoughts on that early on?
So my knowledge of baseball in general is pretty vast, I will say. My math skills, no. they are not advanced. So I never like religiously followed stats in the first place, but it's been nice to retrain my brain and do that. It's been fun. I mean, it is fun to kind of see what the numbers are telling you and be behind that. So I'm glad I did it. I am glad that the two games I covered over the weekend were amazing with my boy Mercedes, and then today with my favorite White Sox pitcher. So that was fun to cover them.
Yeah, truly. I think you get to credit yourself with actually three games done, because both games you did, I think, lasted like 6.5 hours a piece. So I think you actually, you know, with overtime, even though they weren't extra innings, I think you can actually say it was three games, even though just two actual written articles, because boy, today when this started going, I think I checked back in with the game. It was like, it seemed like 2.5 hours in, it was like the third inning. I thought, oh my God, it's happened to her again. And that just doesn't seem fair. You are owed a very quick 2-hour, 10-minute game. I hope.
Friday, I turned that in around a little after 1, I think, 1 a.m. my time. And then today, I rushed back home. I took my kids out for ice cream because they both had really good softball and baseball games yesterday. Oh. So we took them out for their hits because they both got hits. They both got a hit and they both got an RBI, and one got home. So I was like, we're going to go celebrate with ice cream, but I have to be back at a certain time so I can watch this game.
You could bet they're still in warm-ups.
So we, you know, had lunch, we rushed out to get ice cream and came back, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, my husband fell asleep sitting next to me at one point. I got to the point where I was like, oh my goodness, I need to make dinner. What are they doing? So I had my laptop propped up on my kitchen counter, and I'm sitting here like trying to make dinner with three whole pans. I'm like, this is a train wreck. And then the game ended as soon as my like dinner was finished.
You had your splash guards on, so there was no sauce splashes.
I told everybody, I was like, don't wait for me. I need to finish this and then I'm going to eat dinner, but just do whatever. So it was a long
game. That's devotion though, too. You could have easily said, hey, buddy, you're going to have to wait. We got to eat. I got to finish cooking. The stats will be there. This is a somewhat, it was a day game. It was an early game. I appreciate that devotion, especially when it was a 7.5, 7.75 hour game. Wow. You're owed about 2 hours plus. Yeah. As long as you mention your sleepy husband, I got to say it was great to see a double O'Keefe game thread. That was very nice. I really thought that the universe was going to fold in on itself with two of you actually commenting during a game, but I guess we're still intact. Maybe that's what helped drive a surprising sweep over the weekend.
You've got to thank our friend John, because I saw him mention my name. So I like took a little screenshot and I sent it over to Billy. And then he suddenly, a few minutes later, jumped on.
Popped up. Hey, I'm not above guilting people. That's really my mode of operation. Just guilt people into coming along, dropping a comment. They add up.
I just like the little tagline about don't follow me, follow my wife. I just appreciate that. Very shameless nice. Plug.
You know, no offense to Billy. That might actually be prettiest too. Sorry, Billy. What can I say? I mean, if it's t-shirts, I'm going to you, Billy. Docs talk. Might be
me now.
Sorry. I'm sorry. And also strawberry cheesecake churro cannolis. That's another. Or dinner.
I made those during the game.
Dinner and stats. Simultaneous dinner and stats also works. So you are not averse to doing more six pack of stats articles.
No, now that I think I've cracked that one, I think I can do some more.
That's fun. It's something that more and more in actual game recaps you're going to see. I know Lee Allen usually likes to inject exit velocity into his pieces, and then some of that stuff comes up, particularly when it's like, oh, your mean hit a ball, you know, 115 miles an hour. But by and large, that's not usually part of our narrative in recaps. So, you know, it is sort of nice to be able to, you know, in this consistent way to say, all right, what was the hardest hit ball? What was the luckiest hit? I mean, those things are sort of, you know, neat to see. I mean, just today in yours, you know, in sort of looking up what you'd written, you know, I saw it. Not only did Adam Eaton have the weakest, he had the three weakest balls hit today. I mean, pretty funny, and I don't think that happens very often. I'm not sure what Wheaties he didn't eat today, but the idea that he's even hitting line drives that are like just little quails out to shortstop. You know, that stuff is interesting. And, you know, providing you have a writer who can say, okay, I'm going to take the number and try to craft something with it. You know, it can be a fun read. And I hope people aren't just necessarily clicking on to like vote in the poll or whatever, but you know, I think it's an easy read, you know, but you know, I think it's a lot of fun. It's got stuff for fans of all the pitcher data, which sort of goes over my head. I mean, Crystal, you may say you're just sort of trying to catch up with this massive now. I've been trying to play around with this for like 10, 12 years, and I'm still trying to get on top of it. So, you know, I'm at best in your boat on that one. So, but it's fun, you know, and hopefully it's been something that you've enjoyed doing. I think we've had maybe six or so different writers doing those so far, which is a nice variety and participation. So who knows, there might even be some new names popping up. I know the slots are filling up. At the start of the season, it was like nobody was interested in doing them. You know, Ashley Sanders is a huge six-pack person. She did a ton of them for us last year on site, and she hasn't even gotten rolling with her stuff. So I think they're going to be entertaining reads. And everybody, even though this is a pretty, you know, this is pretty formatted, there's still a lot of room for, you know, the flavor that people do like to come and read. Yours is have a little different twist than what I'm going to do or Ashley or Jeremy. So these are fun to do. And I'm glad that you got a couple under your belt, because it's, you know, until I see the product and no one's yelling at me, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, how it's going to work out. So I'm glad, you know, despite the fact that they were 12 and a half hour games each, that you did manage to pull through and sort of have some fun doing it.
I almost volunteered for three, but I knew I had an evening baseball game for one of my kids last night. So I could have had the whole weekend.
Wow.
That would have been the longest 85 hour weekend I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Might not have been time for the cannolis or the dinner or Billy's nap. So,
I know. He was only here for a very short period of time this weekend. So, you know.
At least he got to catch up on his sleep. he's going to not want you to do podcasts anymore. Every time you talk about me, I'm asleep.
He's so supportive, but now he's going to hate me. No more.
No more. Your t-shirts are cut off.
Not promoting anything you do.
All right. Well, hey. White Sox are riding high, day off. So this is some of your day off content. This delightful podcast with me and Crystal celebrating a sweep, a 4-game winning streak, bearing down on first place on the Kansas City Royals and top run differential in the American League, which would indicate the White Sox are the best team, no longer Boston, the best team in the American League. So let's see the White Sox actually play that out this next week. Maybe the next time we're talking a week or so from now, Crystal, or after one of the post game for a post game podcast, that we will be celebrating a first place White Sox team.
Jazz.
That's the official. Jazz hands is the official indicator that first place is imminent. Everybody, thank you as always for reading, commenting, being part of our community. That's very important. You guys keep us going. And of course, listening and occasionally even watching these Southside Sox podcasts. That'll be it for number 42. We'll be back at you, I'm sure, very soon with something else. But enjoy. Enjoy the off day. We're going to be right back at it on Tuesday with the usual coverage. Super Joseph Reeses, who, you know, is very distinctively not present here for the unofficial meeting of the Indianapolis field office. He's doing double duty on Tuesday. He's taking both the six-pack and the game recap, because that's just the way he does it. So you'll be reading him on Tuesday and hopefully recounting another Chicago White Sox victory. That would be 5 in a row. Thank you for joining me, Crystal. Let's do it again sometime soon.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Take care, everybody.